Hello again. Well, earlier today, the Sinn Féin leader and co-leader Mary Lou MacDonald and Michelle O'Neill met the Taoiseach about the continuing delay to re-establishing the Northern Ireland executive. Just what the Taoiseach can do about the DUP remains to be seen, but Irish News columnist Patricia McBride is now on the line to tell us more about where those efforts are in the North at present. Good evening to you, Patricia. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Colm. It's good to be with you.
Thanks very much. We've been talking about the performance of the Irish government and some of the opposition parties in the first part of the programme, but has there been, first of all, a successful reset in relations to any degree between Dublin and the DUP that would in any way influence the chances of Stormont being got up and running again?
Well, I think there's been an awful lot of back channel work that's been going on over the last number of weeks to try and get this this deal, the Windsor framework that's been brokered between the British government and the EU over the line. And I think that it's been very positive in terms of where we've seen the DUP move this in the last number of days. Geoffrey Donaldson has established this 8-person committee within the party to go out and consult with the grassroots to try and see if they can sell this deal or if, you know, if it's something that's achievable. And it's something that the DUP isn't known for doing in terms of bringing their grassroots along with them. I mean, historically, you will have seen that, you know, when Arlene Foster was leader, she would, and during the Stormont House negotiations, deals would have been made, agreements would have been, you know, very near to conclusion, and then the Westminster wing of the party would come back from London at the weekends and it would all be undone, you know, so they didn't have a huge amount of party unity. And the very clever thing that Geoffrey Donaldson has done in establishing this committee is to bring in two former party leaders in Peter Robinson and Arlene Foster to undertake that consultation with the party's grassroots. So I think the mood music around that is positive. But
I'm sorry, you know, Patricia, you say clever to the extent that Peter Robinson has written a kind of a lengthy blog on what he thinks of the current proposals on the protocol, which while he says he's maintaining a neutral position, he sounds positively disposed towards it. Arlene Foster may be more difficult to read on that. So are they in the business of consulting or convincing when they're going out and meeting the grassroots?
Well, I think it's an element of both. I think it's an element of trying to determine what the key concerns are and whether or not those can be mitigated. The DUP famously talks about their 7 tests and whether this agreement would meet those 7 tests. Are they going to be able to roll back from some of that? Yes, they can accept the ruling of the UK Supreme Court and just say, you know, that issue has been dealt with. They can agree that the issue of the constitutional future is enshrined in the Good Friday Agreement, so that's something they don't have to worry about. And then the other questions primarily deal with checks on goods that are moving in and out of the North, whether that's between Britain and Ireland or North-South. So the question there is whether the proposals are around the red lanes and the green lanes and the spot checks can be right. Adequately sold,
which is
to
a very,
the grassroots.
Which is a kind of a bread and butter pragmatic issue. So, I mean, to what degree do those issues like health and the cost of living and other bread and butter issues influence how people are, how their relationship is with the parties in the North at the moment? To what extent do they blame the larger parties for their predicament, or have they gone into the trenches very much on the protocol?
Well, there's a huge amount of pressure on the DUP to go back into Stormont, because in the absence of a Stormont administration, you know, there's so much that can't be managed in terms of setting a budget, in terms of being able to, I mean, Stormont obviously can only work with what it is given by Westminster in terms of the block grants and budget allocations. But, you know, a locally elected administration that can prioritise spending is what people want. I mean, we've had an unprecedented few months. If you look at the public sector, for example, we've had classroom assistants, teachers, nurses, council workers going out on strike. And most recently, you've had firefighters balloting to possibly take strike action. You know, so the public sector is under huge pressure because of the financial crisis and you know, there's nothing that can be done whilst Stormont is in mothballs to try and mitigate that, or even to lobby Westminster to try and improve public sector pay across all of those areas where there is real pressure, right, in terms of the cost of living crisis.
And briefly and finally, do any of those frustrations translate into pressure on political parties to get back into Stormont, or are they happy enough to be led on the issue of the protocol by the DUP, and certainly on the unionist side by the DUP's current stance?
I think that pressure is growing on a daily basis, especially when you look at, like, last week when the announcement, or 2 weeks ago when the announcement was made on the Windsor Protocol, and you had, you know, so many of the trade and business organisations coming out and saying, this is good, it may not be perfect, but at least it gives us certainty. And once we have certainty, we can work with that. And so the pressure is growing, and certainly every day that goes by where the cost of living remains, you know, an ever-growing issue, and where there's no methodology right now of putting in mitigations to try and meet people's needs, then, you know, the pressure grows. So the DUP will have to come up with a decision within the next couple of weeks, particularly when you had Chris Heaton-Harris announcing today that there will be a vote on the Windsor framework before the end of March. So the party is going to have to make its decision before then. After that, if they decide not to support it, we could be very much into election territory.
All right, Patricia McBride, thanks very much for that. We'll be back with more after this.
The Late Debate with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.